Welcome to Ask the Tech Coach, brought to you by the TeacherCast Educational Network. If you are in charge of professional development and looking to build an innovative digital learning experience, this is the podcast for you. Join us each week as we uncover strategies that tech coaches are using to drive their digital transformations one classroom at a time. And now for your host, with over two decades of experience working with tech coaches and edtech companies from all around the world, Jeff Bradbury.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Thank you so much for joining us today and making TeacherCast your home for professional development. This is Ask the Tech Coach podcast, episode number 256. And today we're talking all about artificial intelligence and how can you as an instructional coach help your district navigate through these waters. I have a fantastic guest on the show today who I had the opportunity a few years ago of ISTE to get to know. We reconnected at FETC and we said, you know what? Let's put a show together on this very topic. I think coaches out there are going to want to hear about that. So stick around. We've got a great conversation. We hit everything from creating school policy, helping your administrators, how to bring dynamic lessons into the classroom. We're trying to hit it all as much as we can, but we can't do it alone here. If you'd like to be a part of this conversation or would like to be a guest on a future episode, please feel free to write to us over at feedback@teachercast.net. You can always email us there or certainly go on over to askthetechcoach.com. There's a lot of great things that you can do to be a part of this show. And we want to say thank you guys out there for making TeacherCast your home for professional development. My first guest today has been an educator for more than 30 years working with elementary students, especially in the field of technology integration. She's currently on the staff of techforlearning.com. And I had an opportunity recently to catch up with her at the FETC conference. I want to welcome my good friend, Miss Danielle Abernethy. Danielle, how are you today? Welcome to Ask the Tech Coach.
I am happy to be here and thank you. I'm doing great. We were both talking. We're busy, and I think that's what keeps us as a ball of energy, just ready to bounce with the next thing. So,
you know, it is great being busy, lots of things to do, lots of people to support, lots of channels, lots of networking, lots of proposals right now. I mean, the ISTE proposals are still back out again. I'm looking forward to Denver. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself. What are you doing these days?
So I'm a former technology coach. I taught fifth grade. I taught middle school business. I was a technology coach in South Carolina. That's where the accent comes from, even though I was born in Pennsylvania. And I now work for Tech for Learning, and I've been with them for 12 years. My favorite part is when I get to connect with the teachers and work with them. As you mentioned, proposals are due right now, so I've been working with teachers to get ready for conferences at ISTE. I work with Debbie Bohannon, and this year I'm also getting to work with Ann Ulrich. She's all the way in, it's a Dodia school. In Japan. All of a sudden, I just forgot where she's from. Oh my goodness. But she's in a Dodia school, and we're working on a digital storytelling project, and I'm working with teachers to get ready for a conference in Texas, in Galveston. It'll be my first time going to that one. I'll get to see Debbie Tannenbaum there, so I'm excited. Lots of conferences and lots of projects going on that I get to work with teachers. I'll be doing a STEM night next week. I get to go and judge and work with students on STEM projects. I'm excited about that. And working with some FBLA students on some of their projects in South Carolina and here in Florida. So I virtually help teachers as they need me. So just all over the place.
It is great to be busy, especially this time of year. You know, as you mentioned, the ISTE proposals are out or have been out. And, you know, I've been looking around saying, you know, what do tech coaches want these days? What is the big buzz? I've been looking around at our Facebook group. I've been looking around at the New to Coaching Facebook group. I've been looking around at, you know, the LinkedIn groups and stuff like that. What would you say right now are the hot topics for instructional coaches? What's out there right now that people are asking for advice on?
Well, absolutely AI. That was a very big topic at FETC. It was a big topic at in Chicago. I just came back from IdeaCon, and that was a big topic there as well. My big fear when I talked to Erica and Heather about AI, they do a fabulous presentation. It's probably the one that won me over, is losing the student voice. I don't want the students, they already think when they get to middle school, I can't draw, and they don't want to do anything artistic anymore. And that's one of the things I love about elementary students. They're willing to draw. They're willing to create. They're willing to put their heart into something because they don't think they can't yet. They don't get that criticism until middle school, and that's when they become so self-critical. So I'm afraid with AI, I'm always that they're going to not be as creative as they were. They're not going to put their heart and their soul into it. But Erica and Heather changed my mind on that a little bit. So AI is definitely going to be a hot topic, and how to use it with students to where it doesn't take away their voice still. I'm interested in that. That's now, my.
What's your thoughts on that? Right now in my position, I'm working with middle school students, and I'm trying to demonstrate artificial intelligence to gain knowledge, to gain insight in the creativity. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're trying to do it to complete a project that they shouldn't be using it for.
Absolutely. I know of a student who did that, who actually did all of their projects through an AI and turned it in and made an A, and I'm ashamed. We're doing an interesting project in April with a teacher here in Spring Hill, Florida, where they are going to use an AI chat to interview the founders of the Houses of Hogwarts. It was an AI app that Heather and Erica introduced at FETC. I'm sure it was around before that. We're dividing into 8 teams. So each team or each house will have 2 teams. They are coming up with the same questions to ask the AI to see if they get the same answers at different times. If they ask the question a different way, will they still get the same answer? Because every student will ask a question, like I could ask you, what's your name? Or, hi, how are you? Who are you? But you ask the question and you might get a different response each time. So we're interested to see how they respond to the students. If they jumble up the questions, do they get different responses? And the students are going to present their findings. And we're willing to see about that one. But I am nervous otherwise. I don't know. I haven't put enough thought into it. No, that's a lie. I have. Every time I think of it, though, it scares me. Because like I said, I go back to, will the student still feel like they can draw the picture if they use AI to draw it? Will the student still write their own sentence or think, okay, I gave it enough of a prompt. It did it for me. I'm good. I don't have to do anything else. That's what I'm scared of.
The problem that I'm running into is that the students are feeling like they're getting one over on teachers because they're using it, as opposed to, wouldn't it be cool if we were just learning this together, right? I can't believe my teacher didn't find out, or I didn't know. Well, if the teacher's not technologically savvy to begin with, of course they're not going to be picking up on that stuff.
So how are you dealing with that with your students and your teachers?
Well, I'll answer that in 2 different ways. How am I dealing with that? I'm making sure that I create assignments that AI cannot be used. It's no different than saying, don't give an assignment where a Google form can, it's one of those kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. How am I working on it with my teachers? I'm trying to suggest, and I've talked about this on this show, how can we create an environment where we can have an open discussion about this? Can we take a couple minutes here? Can we take a couple minutes there? If I see a teacher in the hallway, I might bring it up in a conversation. Hey, have you seen any students using this? Hey, I'm looking for some information. The other day, we have a Chromebook monitoring program that we use, and I just openly asked the kids, what AI are you using? And I was expecting all of them to do ChatGPT and whatnot. And I found that a number of students were using, I think it's called Ask AI or AskMe.ai or something like that. And I got to be honest, it was the first thing that I did was I went back to that Chromebook monitoring program and I blocked that website. So that way in my class, they weren't able to use it. but I've been playing with it on the side just to kind of see where it is, because obviously the kids are using it.
Right.
How can I create an assignment where we can then learn how to use that as a tool?
Yeah, that's, well, you know, that's what, an important thing to do.
We just got done doing autobiographies and I needed some examples. Mm-hmm. So with the kids, I asked the AI to create an autobiography of specific celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
But then I asked them to create their own autobiography. So, I mean, obviously they can't use the tool for that.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing the AI with the Hogwarts houses. They're all into Harry Potter. We figured that was a good place to start. And we wanted to see if it does give back different answers. We're hoping it does. I've tested it a couple of times and I did get different answers with philosophical questions I gave it. So I'm hoping to see that the students will get different responses. And that way they could see that AI is not always it's not always the trusted source that they think it is. And I love that you're having the students do something with AI that doesn't just spit out the project. It's not just going to spit out the paper where AI and they're done. But that goes back to the students actively being involved with the project. They're creating something. They're doing something beyond just a paper. They're actively working.
But one of the questions that I'm having a hard time with here is, I can create something here and then mm-hmm. I can duplicate it in real time in front of my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm still nervous that I can play with AI here and I can ask, you know, hey, what's your favorite Hogwarts character, whatever it happens to be. But when I put that in front of them in the real world, that the AI is going to answer something completely different.
You know, that is a big fear. Does it answer it inappropriately? And could it take a question the inappropriate way? I am hoping with the Hogwarts one, I've not seen an inappropriate question yet. Or I should say I've not seen an inappropriate response yet. It did kind of twist one of my questions back on me, as in, this isn't the right way to ask that question. This is not a topic for us. So I did try to break the boundaries with one, but you're right. It's very easy for students to break the rules. It's very easy for us to give them the trust and them break it. And who's responsible for that? Is that the AI breaking the trust, or is it the student because of the way that they asked a question that they shouldn't have been asking?
But who's responsible for that?
Right. And that's where the teachers, that's why a lot of schools are not ready to implement AI with the students yet, because they're worried about the results, and they have every reason to be worried about those results.
But that dates back to, you know, when I was sitting in the hot seat as the director of, the big conversation is, if you are going to open up these AI apps, you need to have an acceptable use policy with the app itself, but then wherever the app is getting fed from, which is where most school districts are just throwing their hands back and saying, I'm out.
That's actually a very good point. And now you're going to make me go back and look to see who is the owner of the AI app for the Hogwarts, even though I've been having fun with it and making sure that it fits. The AUP is desperately needed. Digital citizenship is desperately needed. And even making sure the parents understand that you don't have full control over the AI, and it might give an inappropriate response. And if you see one or hear one right away, you'll shut it down, and that the students are responsible for alerting you that this is an inappropriate response. So we shut it down, screenshotting it, so that way there's a record of it, not them just trying to end the project early. But I think that responsibility needs to be taught, that they need to speak up and say, oh, no, I got an inappropriate response and I'm good. I'm done. And owning it, so that way it doesn't become an issue. I think that's the biggest thing, is not them just trying to hide it and sneak off with more inappropriateness. But that AUP is going to have to be, the digital citizenship and the AUP are going to have to go hand in hand. The students are going to have to understand that, the parents are going to have to understand that the students might come up with an inappropriate answer. It will be handled, and it'll be trusted that they will not continue with it. They will shut it down and let you know right away.
But, you know, I got to sit in that hot seat again, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe I think I might have said the wrong thing. I think I might have said AUP, but I really meant was privacy agreement, right? Like, the, you know, are they on Learn platform? Are they signed up with your state's, you know, all those wonderful things, right?
Right. SOPA if you're in Illinois, or the data right. privacy. Yes, all of
and,
those.
And because ultimately, if that is signed or if that's not signed, that's still on your district. Yes, it's you're the teacher, but that's still on your district, right? Like, the district is or isn't blocking these tools. And again, that goes back to, it's really hard to do that if your district doesn't know these tools exist, because they're changing constantly. But if your district does decide to open up ChatGPT to teachers, because it's, I don't think it's acceptable yet. It's not, right? ChatGPT is not under 18, it's, as far as I know.
As far as I know as well. And I know that
Microsoft is coming out with Copilot for EDU already, and, you know,
right.
Google Bard or
Vision. It's now Gemini.
Gemini, right.
Right.
They're all coming down to the EDU stuff, right?
Right. And I know that in Florida, our governor is looking to block social media. And someone said that he's also looking to block AI with the younger students. But you're right. We do need to find out who owns that AI app. Because ultimately, the other issue is, why do they want that AI app? What type of information are they trying to gather on their end about that student with the questions that they ask? Because when you ask a question, you're revealing a little bit about yourself. And with your answers, you're getting more back from that student. So I do want to know who owns it. I would want to know what their privacy agreement is. What does the student need in order to run that app? You're right. Do they need a Google ID? That's going to link them to it. And do I have to worry about what's on the other end and who's on the other end?
In your opinion, what is the role of the instructional coach when it comes to these decisions? We look at it here as you're the person in the classroom, but you're also the person who probably has the ear of central office, right? And you are the person who's unfortunately, more often than not, the one telling the teachers what central office is thinking, in so many words, right? Because a teacher just sees something that's either, you know, red or green. It's either on or it's off. You're usually the one that's going to go to the teacher and say, well, it's not accepted yet, right? So what is the role?
I was famous for playing with things and breaking things and testing the boundaries as much as I could. I checked as much as I could. I would bend the rules and see what the results were, to make sure that, and I would try to think like a seventh grade student when I did it, because my seventh grade students were the ones that always found a way to break our firewall and get through our filter. So I would try to think like them, test it out and see what I could do to break the system. And I would tell the teachers, in your very valuable free time, if you really want to use AI with your students, play with it as a student on your own, you know, away from the students, test it out, play with it. And I know that's hard because you don't have a lot of time. Those who don't want to do it yet, have the conversations with those who are, and keep an open mind to it. I am afraid if we don't introduce it with digital citizenship, teaching them why, and this is just so not my topic, but if we are not teaching it with the digital citizenship, our students are going to end up getting left behind. So it's going to have to be taught. I'm not an AI person. I want my students creating and producing and create and making things. And eventually that's going to be with AI, even though I don't want to see the students lose that part of themselves. I don't want to lose those artists and those storytellers to an AI. But I'm hoping that if I teach them the citizenship part of it, that they won't lose that voice. And I don't want them to be scared of it either, because it's going to be part of their world and they have to become natives of it, I guess. So they're going to have to, the teachers are going to have to play with it. They're going to have to know that things are going to break. They're going to have to know that things aren't going to be right. And they have to just, they're going to have to. And then if they find something that's inappropriate, report it back immediately. That's where they get in the worst trouble, is if they don't report it back. That's what I used to tell my teachers. You find something that's inappropriate, you report it back to us right away. Let us know. Because if you don't, somebody else is going to find it, and it's going to be a whole lot worse. That's the big thing. They're going to have to let us know. I think that's one of the, and the other thing is sticking with the tools that you know are safe. Is it, I think Magic School, isn't that the one that everybody's using right now because it's geared specifically for the teachers? I don't think it's for the students. I think it's only for the teachers. I honestly have not looked at it enough.
I think Magic School AI is a great application. I've got an account. I've played with it, a couple times. I'll probably be going through all of the courses at some point to do their ambassador programs and stuff like that, just because I want to learn more. Mm-hmm. My fear with all of this is there are schools that are not yet there, but they do have people on the ground, teachers, coaches, whomever, that are trying to push this. Should mm-hmm. schools adopt AI through a specific AI policy? Should they adopt, and I know these are bigger questions than we have right now, right? But should schools adopt AI through an AI policy, which, you know, if you go on to Control Alt Achieve, Eric Kurtz's amazing website, he's got an entire Google sheet with hundreds at this point, school districts and links to their AI policies, or should AI just be one of those things kind of under the cloud of the acceptable use policy? And because you have an AUP, AI is just naturally in there somewhere.
I don't think an AI should naturally be in the AUP that's existing now, because the AUPs that were written even last year are not up to date with AI. And your data privacy agreements are not up to date with AI. In my experience, from my little limited experience, I know that Phil Hintz, I can never say his last name correctly, and I apologize. I know he was part of the team that just did the AI framework that they just released in Orlando. I think it's the international framework. I think that before your district adopts it, they need to look at the work that has been done. Look at other districts, what they are doing, the ones that did become the leaders in this. They need to look at the framework, and they probably need to do the trickle-down method. Start with the teachers, trickle it down to the high school, trickle it down to middle school. I don't know if I would put it in, I would put it limited in elementary, like with the chatbot that has been tested. I do need to go find out who owns it. That's something I didn't think of, because I was just acting like a teacher. I found a cool tool, and I knew that this teacher wanted to do a project of this nature. And I was like, oh, this works. This fits the project. But now I have to think, oh, does it fit the data privacy? You've got me thinking and now worried about this whole project's going to fall apart.
It's amazing what pops out when you put your admin hat on, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
We've done shows recently, even the show we did last week. It was, when you were, now that you've been an admin, how does that change your teaching, or how does that change your coaching, right? That was what we talked about in episode 255. So if you haven't listened to that yet, check that out. But with what you and I are talking about here, you have to be thinking about that.
You have to be thinking about it. And here's my bad part. I have always been pro-teacher, working with this teacher, trying to help make sure that they're comfortable with what they're working with. I volunteer at schools locally because as a vendor, I don't want to be seen as the person who stepped out of the classroom and has no idea of what's still going on. That's not who I am. So that's why I volunteer where I can. I volunteer with Debbie Bohannon or local teachers here. But because I am not the one ultimately responsible, I did get all of the paperwork signed for Wixie to be used with these students, but I wasn't thinking about the website. I wasn't thinking about the AI tool, I gave it to the teacher. I know she'll be working on that part, but I should have been thinking about that. And that should have been something that was on my mind, and it wasn't. I've been playing with it, testing it out, but I didn't think, did the district need to approve this? Because it is a chat. It is an AI.
And I think the answer is if you sign into it.
I don't remember signing into this one. So no. But it is a chat and there is a response. It's an active live response that's constantly going back. And because it's responsive, not just producing a paper like ChatGPT or an outline or creating an image, it's actually talking back from you. It's taking whatever your question was, answering it, and re-asking you the question back to make you think. Like I said, it can get very philosophical at points. So it's responsive and it's reactive, which means I need to find out who's behind it, because I don't know how it's going to take these 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds down the line. What are they going to do to it? What type of questions will it start asking them back?
If you are out there in podcast land and you would like to join us for a conversation on this topic, please feel free to reach out to us. feedback@teachercast.net. Since 2024 came, I think this might be our second, maybe our third show that I've just dedicated to how can coaches and AI coexist? How can we help create lessons? How can we help steer our ships? How can we help support our administrators? Clearly, these are topics that, you know, we're not doing these shows to find answers. We're just having these conversations to bring up topics. Maybe if you're listening to this and you bring up the topic in your district, maybe it's a way to start these conversations going. I would love to invite you, yes, you listening, onto this show to have this conversation with us and see where we can go. There's a lot of great topics out there on this subject. There's a lot of great applications. And I, you know, especially between now and ISTE, how can instructional coaches support innovation in the schools? Clearly with AI, this is the biggest topic that we're going to have for the next 6 months to whoever knows how we're going to go here. I'm looking forward to being with everybody in Denver. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Denver and just seeing all the different AI topics that are out there. I know I just signed up, I don't want to say signed up, but I put a proposal in to speak in October at a big ed tech conference filled with a lot of business owners and ed tech startups and things like that. And I know that the majority of those topics is going to be AI based. How mm-hmm. are we creating AI for education? And again, if you have anything that you'd like to help add to this conversation, please feel free. Reach out, you know, Twitter at TeacherCast, email me feedback@TeacherCast, head on over to the TeacherCast site and fill out any one of our contact forms. We would love to have you. Danielle, where do we go from here, though, right? That's the big question. We know that it's here. We know that the summertime, I'm going to say it officially now, it's March, right? The summertime is coming. We've got some big decisions to make. How do we get ourselves ready for September?
That's a great question. I'm sitting here going, I want to run back to the beginning of this conversation. Because AI is so not my topic. It's not my forte at all. So I don't know. I think it's going to have to be what are the teachers' expectations with AI? What are they looking to do with it? Do they understand the different kinds of AI that are out there? And are they willing to take the time to test it out themselves and get it approved to be used for whatever lesson that they're looking at. But definitely making sure that they follow within the guidelines that the district set. And I think that's very important because it's very easy for things to be manipulated. Like I said, it's a responsive AI. I don't know how it's going to respond until the question's posed. And I am interested to see if the questions are different. So I think that for the future for teachers, is being inquisitive and always being on guard not letting that guard down. This is not the time to let the guard down. It's not going to be easy to do. And don't forget to play. They have to play.
I'm curious about this question, and I ask myself this one a lot. We've been instructional coaches for a long time. We've seen the adoption curve of Microsoft, the adoption curve of Google, the adoption curve of, you know, we kind of have seen cycles of all of this go. What's your theory for where AI is going to be 2-3 years? Clearly, there's going to be people like us who are those early adopters, and we're still moving forward with it. But do you ever see a day where generative AI is the norm in classrooms, like Google Classroom is right now? People use it a little bit. People use it a lot, but it's the norm. Everyone's using Google Classroom.
Okay.
Do you see a day in the future where AI is just another tool?
I do. I do, and I don't. So I'm going to put on my other hat, my vendor hat right now. I work for Tech for Learning with Wixie. I work with teachers, getting them to use Wixie, share ideas, training them, work with our partners, all sorts of great things. We have asked ourselves the question, where does AI fit in Wixie? Now, we're a small company. We have 15 people. They're all in-house. Nothing goes over, and I love it. They're asking that question themselves. And the purpose of Wixie is for the students to create, to share their stories, to share what they're doing. We have UDL features built in. We have the different types of projects that the students can create are built in. And I honestly wrestle with, do we need AI to stay relevant in 3 years? And I don't know if we do, because I think in a couple of years, it's still going to be the shiny tool to some teachers, especially those in middle school, high school. I don't think my elementary teachers are going to need it for the students. I think they'll use it for generating the 504 plans or helping to generate their lesson plans. I don't think elementary teachers are going to use it as much with the students. I do see the middle school, high school teachers using it more for generating with students, and show it, because they're going to have to. The students have to learn that. It's going to be a workforce skill that they're going to need. So they have to be workforce ready in middle school through high school. But I don't think, I think it's not going to be as shiny in the elementary. I think the elementary teachers are going to fall back to creation.
But you don't think there's going to be an art class where 30 kids in the classroom are learning how to make their own custom pop figures?
I think yes, they'll do it. But I don't think it's going to be a focus. I don't think it's going to be a 9-week course. I don't think it's going to be, it might be a unit. There's a fabulous art teacher in, I want to say Fairfax. She does so many different types of artwork with her students. It's possible. It's very possible that she'll let the students give a prompt to an AI tool and generate the piece of art, and then see how they would generate it. What would theirs look like? And then see what the AI and compare and contrast. Can they tell that it, you know, which one was the AI, which one was the student creation? But I don't think it's going to be the core of her program, because she's a creative person and she encourages that creativity with the students out of their own mind. So I think you'll see it more in middle school, high school than you will in elementary, just because the nature of who those teachers are. They'll use it for themselves. I don't think they're going to use it as much in the elementary. I think more in middle school, high school. At least
I would tend to agree with you. I would think, I mean, look, if you put AI into two different camps, right? There's the ChatGPT style thing, and then there's the AI that, okay, it makes pretty pictures, or it removes the background, or it takes somebody out of a picture. You know, I always look at AI and I kind of segment those two things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in one camp, I am the guy that's saying, yeah, bring on those Canva features. Bring on the ability to take something and take a picture and wireframe it and move it around. And that's all AI doing its thing. I'm
right.
all for that. And then there's the other half that says, yeah, why shouldn't a student be able to write a 5-paragraph essay that this, 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 and this? But that's no different than the me from 10 years ago that was saying to teachers as a new instructional coach, don't give an assignment that a kid can cheat on. Create an environment where the kid has to use that as a tool to then create something else.
Right.
And, you know, again, you can ask AI to create a logo for you, but I'm asking my kids to do logos in, let's just say, Google Drawings. There's no way that an AI tool and Google Drawings are going to work together, right? So you can certainly use something like DALL-E to be inspired, but I'm asking you to perform a task on a different application where those two things just aren't in the same universe.
I have a friend who redesigned my old Sumter logo for Sumter School District 2 in South Carolina 20 years ago in Word. She used the draw tools in Word to create this beautiful round logo that had an apple and books in it with Word. And if she could do that with Word 20 years ago, with just the simple draw tools that were in there, they're going to be able to do some very creative things with tools not the way that they were designed, because they're going to think outside the box. That those students are going to be ready to do that. We have to be ready to be responsive to it, though. And that's where you're going to have to create the project that cannot so easily be manipulated by the AI, where the students have to think outside the box to create, to unlock, to do, and not rely on the AI always for the answer.
If you have something that you'd like to add to this conversation, we would love to have you in this conversation. Please feel free to reach out over at feedback@teachercast.net. There's certainly a lot of stuff that I want to cover in the next couple of weeks, especially heading into ISTE. So if you're out there and you're like raising your hand while you're driving to work going, yes, I want to add something, please feel free to reach out. There's a lot of great content here over on TeacherCast, and we would love to have you be a part of the TeacherCast family. Danielle, where can somebody learn more about the great work that you're doing these days?
I used to blog. I used to love to do that. Just talk to me. Reach out to me and talk to me on Twitter, or talk to me email, Facebook. I'm an old person. I'm on Facebook. I love Facebook. I talk to teachers in the weirdest places. I talk to them at the grocery store, at Disney. I helped a teacher plan a whole lesson while she was at Disney a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday. We planned a whole lesson. So anywhere and everywhere. And if you're at ISTE, I'll be doing a walk with Ann Ulrich and Debbie on Sunday morning. I think ours is at 10 o'clock. We're doing the Women of Colorado, and we've got 5 or 6 stops planned. You'll get to see elementary stories that were created by Ann's students. And then you'll see high school stories that were created by Debbie's students with professional development. And we are using the Halo AR. So we're using augmented reality to bring those to you on our walk with the triggers. So that will be our fun thing that we're doing there. I don't know if Debbie's bringing AI into hers. I know Anne is not planning to. Debbie's throwing it around. I don't know what she's planning to do, but she's high school and she's got different standards to meet. So just, you could find me on social media. You can find me at the conferences. I'd love to talk to you. I am not the AI person. We'll talk comics in the classroom. We'll talk public service announcements. We could talk creativity, public UDL. We could talk PBL, whatever you want to. AI is not my main topic of choice. So that one threw me for a loop tonight, I'll be honest with you. So
we are going to make sure that all of the links for this show and everything that we've been mentioning are in our show notes over at askthetechcoach.com. This is, of course, episode number 256. We welcome you guys to check it out. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and most importantly, share this with your departments. We got a lot of great shows on new coaches, resume building, job hunting, working with teachers, communication skills, websites, newsletters, you name it. We got it all over there on askthetechcoach.com. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. On behalf of Danielle and everybody here on TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to Ask the Tech Coach, hosted by Jeff Bradbury of the TeacherCast Educational Network. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at Ask the Tech Coach or online at www.askthetechcoach.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.